This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 209, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Uncleanness. The spiritual appetizer that we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, uncleanness. Turn with me now. And let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave, whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." As disciples of Christ, we cannot allow sin to take over. We cannot allow sin to reign in our bodies. We have to always understand that when we find sin in our lives, we need to repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus would tell the people, "I tell you nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." If we see sin in our lives, but we don't repent of it and come back to God, then we're allowing sin to reign in our lives, and we're obeying it instead of God. It has control of our lives and not God. We've presented ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin instead of as instruments of righteousness for God to use. And today we're going to be talking about the sin of uncleanness. The sin of uncleanness is allowing sin to remain in our lives, to not repent of sin that we found in our lives, and it makes us dirty before God. It makes us unclean before Him. We have to get it out of our lives. Or as Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." If we allow sin to stay in our lives, then we are like this. We can't do that. We have to allow God to wash us. Now, we're all sinners. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." And Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The only way that we can be clean before God is to have Jesus' blood. The only way that we can have Jesus' blood is to be obedient to the gospel. If we look at verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." And if we go back up in the context in Romans chapter 6 and we read verses 1 through 7, we find out how to do this. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Notice verse 6 with me again. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with." Being unclean before God is allowing sin to stay in our life. Realizing that we are sinners, realizing that we have sin and that we have committed sin, and not repenting of it, not changing our ways and coming to God. We do not become obedient to Him. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Condemned because they refuse to be obedient. Refuse to be obedient to what? To belief and to baptism in order to be saved. Verse 17 again, "But God be thanked that though ye were slaves of sin," sin is that thing that makes us unclean before God. It stains us, according to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We are like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all have sinned, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And so we have to do something about that. We have to get this unclean thing out of our lives. Paul, on the road to Damascus, was blinded by Christ and sent to a preacher by the name of Ananias. He prayed for 3 days, I believe it was, before Ananias came to him. And when Ananias came into the room, in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he asked him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The place in which we start to get rid of the unclean things in our life, the place in which we start to get rid of the sin in our lives, is when we're obedient to that form of doctrine, the doctrine that made us new when we're baptized into Christ's death. We're crucified, and He washes away all of our sin in our life, and we start as a newborn babe. He would tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that it's there that you are reborn. You're reborn out of all those sins. They're washed away. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, after the gospel sermon is preached and they find out that they're living in sin, they ask, "What shall we do?" in verse 37. And Peter tells them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, or the washing away of your sins. Get rid of the uncleanness out of your life. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we've been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, uncleanness. As long as we allow unrepentant sin to stay in our lives, when we know that we're living in sin, we know what we're doing is wrong, we're going to remain unclean before God. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Notice that one of these things that is called a work of the flesh is uncleanness. To understand you're doing something wrong, to understand that there is sin in your life that makes all of your righteousness like filthy rags before God, and to not want to get rid of it, to just allow that uncleanness, that sin, to stain you, and to continue to do so. We have to get rid of the works of the flesh out of our lives, because if we're doing this, at the end of verse 21, it says, "Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Going on into Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, it says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Jew, Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all, is all and in all." And so we see here again in the list of all these sins, uncleanness is here. we have to get rid of the uncleanness out of our life. When we recognize sin in our life, when we recognize that we're unclean before God, we have to repent. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Truly this time of ignorance God once overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And so when we understand that we are sinning, repentance is absolutely necessary in our lives. We have to get rid of it. We have to allow Jesus' blood, after we've been baptized, to wash away our sins, cleansing us from this uncleanness, cleansing us from all sin in our lives. And we have to walk the path that God has set before us. And in verse 6 of Colossians chapter 3 here, verse 6, it says, because of these things, because of what things? Because of fornication, because of uncleanness, because of passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. If we remain disobedient, the wrath of God is going to come upon us. And one of the things it clearly says here is going to cause the wrath of God is uncleanness. Staying unclean before God. In Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23, it says, so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And so we see this list of all these sins again. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things are uncleanness. When we realize that we are speaking evil, when we realize that we're an adulterer or living in fornication, when we realize that we're a murderer or we've stolen something or we've coveted something of our brothers, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, all of these things are uncleanness. When we understand that we are living this lifestyle, we're practicing these things and we don't care and we just continue to live that way, we are unclean before God. We've got to repent of these things. We've got to come back to God. These are the things that defile a man. The argument here in Mark chapter 7 was unclean food. And Jesus said, do you not know that it's not what you eat? It's how you live that makes you unclean before God. It never really was the food that would make them unclean. Even in the Old Testament, when they lived under the restrictive diet of the Old Testament, it was the fact that they were willing to be disobedient to God that made them unclean. And they would continue to be that way when they would eat something that God said, no, that could hurt you. Don't eat these things. The restrictive diet was not to restrict them, but because they didn't understand the certain dangers of certain foods, God said, don't eat them. And when they would eat them anyway, they would break God's law. That's what made people unclean. That's what makes us unclean today. And we've got to be very careful of it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Notice, when he was living for the lust of men, he was unclean. Verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revilries, drinking parties, and abominable idols. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And so this flood of dissipation, this evil, this uncleanness is how the Gentiles live. And God's saying, you are one of my disciples. Now you're to live the will of God in your life. You're to do away with all these unclean things in your life and live for me. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption." You see, that's uncleanness. "For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, be clean, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" You see, there is uncleanness, is when a Christian knows to do right, knows to live the way that God wants him to live, but he returns to the sinful practices of how he lived before he was a Christian, and not following God's word. You see, that makes us unclean before God, like a sow having washed to return to wallow in the mire. And so we see the dangers of uncleanness. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, uncleanness. We need to understand that we need to separate ourselves from this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 17 through 7 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Let us cleanse ourselves from this. Let us get away from it. Let us separate ourselves from the world, from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's get away from it and be clean before God, standing purified by the blood of Christ, repentant of our sins, and come to God so that Christ's blood can wash us clean. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, uncleanness. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.